Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1187. The Oswald Institute of Virology Part 6, Context Part 2. This is being recorded on May 30th of the year 2021. Three quick items before we get into the main body of the program. First of all, there are links at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post, which you can utilize to do the following. First of all, you can subscribe to the comments that are made, mostly by our contributing editor, Tara Fractal, sometimes by others. And those comments cover an awful lot of the vast body of information that I simply don't have time to include in the main body, in these hourly weekly programs. Again, at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post, there is a link to click on to subscribe to the comments that are made, and I emphatically encourage listeners to do just that. There is also, again, at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post, a link to click on in order to subscribe to the podcasts. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record program, and there is a link at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post, which you can click on in order to subscribe to the WFMU podcast of For the Record, if in fact podcasting is the best way for you to consume the program. Also, again, at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post, there is a link to click on to get a 32-gigabyte flash drive with all of my 41-plus years' work on the air available on it, plus a mini-library of old anti-fascist books on very easy-to-download PDF files as well. I get no money whatsoever from that flash drive, and again, it has my entire life's work on it available for a very modest tax-deductible contribution. Okay, all righty. Now, to the main body of the program, this is a continuation of discussion of what, in my professional opinion, was the setting up of the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China to take the fall for the COVID-19 op. I can appreciate that that is quite a bit to digest at one sitting. I emphatically encourage listeners to this program to not only avail themselves of the other broadcasts in this series, but in particular do examine the program descriptions with linked articles wherever possible so that people can peruse the information at greater length. The working hypothesis that I am presenting here has received tremendous amplification in the last week to week and a half. We are seeing what, in my opinion now, is a propaganda blitz that may stop short of saying, yep, it was a lab leak from the Wuhan Institute of Virology that spawned the pandemic, but it will be in a general sense used to not only bash China, but to further isolate and stigmatize China vis-a-vis the COVID-19 outbreak. In the fall of 2019, the period leading up to the outbreak of the COVID virus, I did a series of programs, For the Record broadcasts 1089 through 1095, dealing with the destabilization of China. I've supplemented that with a number of other programs, For the Record programs, 1178, 79, and 80, among others, dealing with the manufacture from whole cloth of the Uyghur genocide myth. That and the continuing destabilization covert ops in Hong Kong, the aforementioned one in Xinjiang vis-a-vis the Uyghurs, and what I believe is now underway, a worldwide propaganda blitz to, while remaining equivocal in one sense, sort of hang the onus for the pandemic around China's neck, hang that albatross around China's neck. We have been looking in this series at an array of information that, taken together, points to not only COVID being a biological warfare weapon, but one that was not developed in China, but developed in the U.S. We have been speaking at great length about extensive Pentagon funding of research into bat-borne coronaviruses in and around China, in considerable measure through an organization called the EcoHealth Alliance, headed up by Peter Daszak and funded for the most part by the Pentagon and a State Department subsidiary, the USAID, the U.S. Agency for International Development, which frequently serves as a front for some of the nastiest CIA covert operations around the world. EcoHealth Alliance is headed up by Peter Daszak. It is extensively involved, that is the EcoHealth Alliance, with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And by the way, the past couple of weeks have seen Anthony Fauci, the head of the National Institutes of Health, coming out and saying, yep, now he has questions about the origins of the virus as well. The NIH is among the institutions that funded bat-borne coronavirus research in China through the WIV. So Anthony Fauci himself, a frequent target of right-wing ideological attacks from the Trump crowd, is in fact implicated in the EcoHealth Alliance imbroglio. As we have noted as well in an article by Sam Husseini, one of Peter Daszak's top advisors in EcoHealth Alliance is a guy named David Franz, last name F-R-A-N-Z, who is the former commanding officer of Fort Detrick, the top U.S. biological warfare facility. As we have noted in the past, once the genome for, say, a bat-borne coronavirus or any other mammalian virus has been published, then that virus can either be synthesized from scratch using contemporary technology and or modified, genetically altered, to produce an even more lethal organism. Now, much of the discussion that has been undertaken in the past week and a half or two has focused, as we have, on gain-of-function research being conducted at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. There was a great deal of that, including and especially projects financed in part by the aforementioned EcoHealth Alliance, and involving not only EcoHealth Alliance but various other Pentagon and State Department entities as partners in the research projects, which then resulted in the publication of genomes for these viruses. A couple of comments made, a couple of contributions made by the aforementioned contributing editor, Para Fractal, illustrates just not only how relatively, I don't know if widespread is the word, but how relatively common and mundane gain-of-function research into bat-borne coronaviruses was at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, but how relatively out front that research was. There was nothing particularly clandestine or national security covered, to coin a term, in that research. Without going and taking the time to go into those articles, which are relatively technical in nature, I will put links in the description for the program. Again, suffice it to say that graduate students were doing theses on some of these viruses, and there was, in general, a quite widespread and open body of research into manipulating bat-borne coronaviruses. And again, a lot of this was done through EcoHealth Alliance with Pentagon and State Department / USAID and David Fran's input into the overall results of EcoHealth Alliance. That would suggest that the research underway at the WIV was not seen by the Chinese as sensitive or worthy of national security cloaking. And as we are about to review, once the information has been published with the genome of the virus available, then the virus can be synthesized from scratch. And the context element in the title of this program refers to the fact that the very same Pentagon, as we will see, that was extensively financing research into bat-borne coronaviruses, especially in and around China, especially in connection with the WIV, and through the aforementioned Pentagon, State Department, and Fort Detrick-linked EcoHealth Alliance, once the genomes have been published, this would permit the Pentagon to synthesize viruses or come up with a modified version of a virus that could be used as a biological warfare weapon. And the research that we have been looking at is in the context of extensive military buildup vis-a-vis China, in addition to the aforementioned destabilization / regime change operations in Hong Kong and Xinjiang province, and the trade war with China, and the full court media blitzkrieg against China. In For the Record programs 1153 and 1154, we went into what I called the yellow journalism peril. The weaponized media coverage of China is, well, worth noting. And I'm going to begin in a few weeks a long For the Record series accessing the late Sterling Seagrave's landmark opus, The Sung Dynasty, about the rise of the Kuomintang, Chiang Kai-shek's narco-fascist regime in China. But it also deals extensively with the China lobby in this country and the tremendous influence of Henry Luce's publishing empire on not only the course of American attitudes toward China over a period of decades, but in terms of the genesis of American attitudes towards China during the Cold War. Now, in order to understand, again, the technological context that dominates biological warfare research at this time, we're going to go back to an article from the British Guardian, an excerpt. But this is from the Guardian of June 19th of 2018. It is by Ian Sample, capital S-A-M-P-L-E, and it is excerpted in part, speaking of synthetic biology. Advances in the area mean that scientists now have the capability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch. One more time. Advances in the area mean that scientists now have the capability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch, make harmful bacteria more deadly, and modify common microbes so that they churn out lethal toxins once they enter the body. In the report, the scientists describe how synthetic biology, which gives researchers precision tools to manipulate living organisms, quote, enhances and expands, unquote, opportunities to create bioweapons. Today, the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. The technology to do this is available now, said Michael Imperiali. It requires some expertise, but it's something that is relatively easy to do, and that is why it tops the list. By the way, Michael Imperiali headed up the commission that produced this report back in 2018. Again, note that scientists, quoting here, now have the capability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch, and I'm skipping down. Today, the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. Quote, the technology to do this is available now, said Michael Imperiali. It requires some expertise, but it's something that's relatively easy to do, and that is why it tops the list. And noting that bat-borne viruses are extremely destructive when human beings become infected with them because of the very different nature of the human immune system and that of the bat. That was described, That was described in an article that we've used before. We'll excerpt again. It's from Xi Jingli, weaponizing coronaviruses with Pentagon funding at a Chinese military lab, by Alexis Baden-Meyer of the Organic Consumers Association, from September 24th of 2020. And in that article about the deadliness of bat-borne viruses when they infect human beings, as Boston University microbiologist Thomas Kepler explained to the Washington Post in 2018, the bat's unique approach to viral infection explains why viruses that transfer from bats to humans are so severe. Quote, a virus that has co-evolved with the bat's antiviral system is completely out of its element in the human, Kepler said. That's why it is so deadly. The human immune system is overwhelmed by the inflammatory response. The bat immune system responds very differently from ours to viral infection. Instead of attacking and killing an infected cell, which leads to a cascade of inflammatory responses, the bat immune system can starve the virus by turning down cellular metabolism. The bat origin of SARS-CoV-2 may explain the cytokine storms that are hastening some COVID-19 deaths. And we are also going to review an excerpt from New York Magazine from January 4th of 2021. It is an article by Nicholson Baker, and although it leaves out a lot of critical information like the Pentagon and USAID funding of EcoHealth Alliance, as we'll see, Anthony Fauci himself is heading an organization, the NIH, which was involved with funding through EcoHealth Alliance. But note the following. There's all this discussion of gain-of-function research and lab leaks and so forth. Note the following, because one of the very few articles that I have seen that takes into account the information presented in that Guardian article from June 19th of 2018 is this article. And it doesn't get a lot of play, but at least Nicholson Baker, the author of the article, N-I-C-H-O-L-S-O-N, last name Baker, as in Baker, one of the very few commentators to take note of the fact that once the genome of a virus is available on the internet, it can be synthesized and or modified from scratch using contemporary technology. And in this New York Magazine article, again, a cover story from January 4th of 2021, SARS-2, that's SARS-CoV-2, seems almost perfectly calibrated to grab and ransack our breathing cells and choke the life out of them. Perhaps viral nature hit a bullseye of airborne infectivity with almost no mutational drift, no period of accommodation and adjustment, or perhaps some lab worker somewhere inspired by Barish's work with human airway tissue took a spike protein that was especially groomed to colonize and thrive deep in the ciliated mucosal tunnels of our inner core and cloned it onto some existing viral bat backbone. It could have happened in Wuhan, but because anyone can now print out, unquote, a fully infectious clone of any sequenced disease, it could also have happened at Fort Detrick, or in Texas, or in Italy, or in Rotterdam, or in Wisconsin, or in some other citadel of coronaviral inquiry. Again, as he notes, it could have happened in Wuhan, but because anyone can now print out, unquote, a fully infectious clone of any sequenced disease, it could also have happened at Fort Detrick, or in Texas, or in Italy, or in Rotterdam, or in Wisconsin, or in some other citadel of coronaviral inquiry. And again, this against the background of extensive Pentagon funding of research into bat-borne coronaviruses, in particular at the WIV, in particular through the EcoHealth Alliance, but there are other Pentagon-connected organizations as well that were involved with financing these grants, including many of them through, again, EcoHealth Alliance, but not all of them. But once the projects have reached fruition, and once they have published and put the genomes of viruses online, then it is off to the races. Then they can be synthesized or then weaponized. Gain-of-function manipulations can be performed on those viruses when they are synthesized from scratch. And before we get into the Biden administration's charge to intelligence services, including, by the way, services that are under the general supervision of Avril, A-V-R-I-L, Haines, H-A-I-N-E-S. She is Biden's Director of National Intelligence. She was a Deputy Director of the CIA under Obama, and she was a key player in the event 201 of, well, I guess event, the event 201 symposium that began on the same day as the Military World Games began in Wuhan, China, and which discussed, just coincidentally, a worldwide pandemic caused by an infectious virus. In, for the record, programs 1185 and 1186, I discussed Peter Bacek's long-running narrative that, yep, disease X is coming and this is it, and also Event 201 and Avril Haines' participation in Event 201 as helping to prime the propaganda pump, to coin the term, in a fashion not unlike elements of the WACCFL, the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, and other organizations that were to coalesce into the World Anti-Communist League in 1967, were developing propaganda prior to President Kennedy's assassination, that the KGB was training assassins, including assassins who were going to work in the USA. This was then used to tar Lee Harvey Oswald with the commie brush, and I think that the efforts of people like Peter Daszak and Avril Haines should be seen in a similar context vis-a-vis COVID-19. Now, again, in the aforementioned article from September 24th of 2020 by Alexis Bob Mayer from the Organic Consumers Association, there is an interesting piece of information that I'm going to highlight, and this should be viewed in the context of what the brilliant, venerable Berkeley researcher Peter Dale Scott characterized as the cover-up obviating the conspiracy. And what Alexis Bodden Mayer has noted is that one of the key papers, that the funding record for one of the projects that resulted in Xi Zhengli, top virologist at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, or the Oswald Institute of Virology, as I had termed it, the USAID paper trail for the funding of one of these key projects has, according to Alexis Bob Mayer, been scrubbed from the U.S. government database. Excerpting this article again from Organic Consumers Association from September 24th of 2020. Xi's most infamous EcoHealth Alliance-funded paper is a SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence, unquote. In this controversial gain-of-function research collaboration with U.S. scientist Ralph Barrich of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Xi and Barrich used genetic engineering and synthetic biology to weaponize a bat coronavirus, maximizing its potential human infectivity. Parenthetically, you heard a reference to this in the Nicholson-Baker cover story from New York Magazine from January 4th of 2021. Continuing. Xi's funding for this study came through a USAID Emerging Pandemic Threats Predict grant to EcoHealth Alliance, but the record for this grant appears to have been scrubbed from the U.S. government's database. One more time. Xi's funding for this study came through a USAID Emerging Pandemic Threats Predict grant to EcoHealth Alliance, but the record for this grant appears to have been scrubbed from the U.S. government's database. EcoHealth Alliance was a Predict partner during the 2009-2014 funding cycle, but there is no record of a USAID grant to EcoHealth Alliance for this time period among the $100.9 million in grants it received from the U.S. government since 2003. Xi's contribution to the work Xi did with Ralph Barrich was the, quote, RSSHCO14-COV sequence that was isolated from Chinese horseshoe bats. So again, according to Alexis Bodden Mayer, although this particular collaboration is well known, Xi's funding for this study came through a USAID Emerging Pandemic Threats Predict grant to EcoHealth Alliance, but the record for this grant appears to have been scrubbed from the U.S. government's database. We're going to come back to EcoHealth Alliance and the aforementioned Anthony Fauci, who now says, yep, I have doubts about how the virus originated. He also was presiding over some of the EcoHealth Alliance projects. Many media outlets, including the New York Times, NBC News, covered Joe Biden's charge to intelligence services to determine where the virus came from as best they are able. From NBC News, an article by Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, Pepepies, P-E-P-P-I-P-I-E-C-E. This is from May 26th of 2021. Quote, Biden asks intelligence agencies to, quote, redouble, unquote, efforts to determine coronavirus origins. The intelligence community has been unable to reach a definitive conclusion, unquote, on the origins of the virus and is conflicted on whether it came from human contact with an infected animal or from a laboratory accident, Biden said in a statement. He said he asked National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan in March to prepare a report for him on what was known about the origins of the virus. Biden said the findings, which he received earlier this month, concluded that while two elements of the intelligence community, quote, lean, unquote, for the explanation that the virus came from animal contact, another leads toward the laboratory explanation. Biden said each assessment has, quote, low or moderate confidence, unquote, and that, quote, the majority of elements do not believe there is sufficient information to assess one to be more likely than the other, unquote. He said he has asked for further investigation. Andy Slavitt, S-L-A-V-I-T-T, a senior White House advisor for COVID-19 response, said Tuesday that it is a critical priority, unquote, for the U.S. to uncover the truth. Quote, it is our position that we need to get to the bottom of this and we need a completely transparent process from China. We need the WHO to assist in that matter, he said. We don't feel like we have that now. Well, as I mentioned, the research at the WIV into bat-borne coronaviruses, including modifying some of them, the documentation for that research was considerable and not in any way clandestine. If someone wants to use a remarkable tool called the Internet, then an awful lot of this can be very safely and readily accessed. What is worth noting again is that once the genomes have been published, then the virus can be synthesized. And the appearance of COVID-19 comes in the context not only of the full court press against China, but extensive Pentagon and U.S. AID funding of projects into bat-borne coronaviruses in and around China, especially through the WIV, and especially using grants from the Pentagon USAID-linked EcoHealth Alliance. Now, as I mentioned, presiding over the effort by the intelligence services to determine the origin of the virus is going to be Avril Haines. She is Joe Biden's Director of National Intelligence. She was, as we looked at in For the Record 1185 and 1186, a key participant in Event 201, and she is a major China hawk. Two articles from Reuters about her anti-China orientation. From Reuters.com from January 19th of 2021, an article by Mark Hosenball and Arshad Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-M-A-D. Biden intelligence pick favors aggressive, unquote, stance on China. The U.S. should pick an aggressive stance toward the threat posed by the aggressive and assertive China that it faces today, Avril Haines, President-elect Joe Biden's choice for the top U.S. intelligence job, said on Tuesday. And a later article, that from January 19th, this also from Reuters.com, from April 14th of 2021, also and by Mark Hosenball, this time in the collaboration with Daphne Saladakis, P-S-A-L-E-D-A-K-I-S, and Patricia Zengerle, Z-E-N-G-E-R-L-E. U.S. spy chiefs warned of, quote, unparalleled, unquote, China threat in return to Congress. U.S. spy agency leaders said on Wednesday that China is an unparalleled, unquote, priority, citing Beijing's regional aggression and cyber capabilities as they testified at a public congressional worldwide threats hearing for the first time in more than 2 years. Quote, given that China is an unparalleled priority for the intelligence community, I will start with highlighting certain aspects of the threat from Beijing. Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines told the Senate Intelligence Committee. She described China as increasingly, quote, a near peer competitor challenging the U.S. in multiple arenas, unquote. Federal Bureau of Investigation Director Christopher Wray said his agency opens a new investigation linked to China every 10 hours. Again, I think the orientation of people like Avril Haines and Christopher Wray should be taken into account as we await what I suspect will be a largely gamed finding in terms of the origin of the virus. And people might want to stop and ask themselves, in what ways is China threatening the U.S.? They are drawing even with the U.S. in certain technological capabilities, allegedly ahead of the U.S. in the 5G technology. But how is China threatening the U.S.? Are they sending warships sailing between Cuba and Florida, as the U.S. has done between in the Straits of Formosa? Again, China is not threatening the U.S. They are, however, providing a remarkable opportunity, as we will see, for the U.S. defense industry to make a whole lot of money. More about that later. Now, an article from the Daily Mail in the UK by Megan Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, and Jeff Earle, E-A-R-L-E, Deputy U.S. Political Editor aboard Air Force One, came up with the following. And again, I think the fact that one of the writers of this was actually on board Air Force One tells us something about where the story comes from. Revealed, three Wuhan lab researchers were hospitalized in November of 2019, and Dr. Fauci now says he's convinced, he's not convinced, unquote, COVID developed naturally and calls for a full investigation into what went on in China. Again, this is from May 23rd of 2021. Of the aforementioned Anthony Fauci, the man the Republicans love to hate, earlier on Sunday, Dr. Anthony Fauci revealed he is, quote, not convinced, unquote, that COVID-19 developed naturally and called for an open investigation into its origins as China faces mounting pressure to provide transparency on the issue. Fauci, the nation's leading expert in infectious diseases, explained his uncertainty during a PolitiFact event on May 11th entitled United Facts of America, a festival of fact-checking. Quote, there's a lot of cloudiness around the origins of COVID-19 still, so I wanted to ask, are you still confident that it developed naturally, unquote, PolitiFact managing editor Katie Saunders asked Fauci of Sanders, S-A-N-D-E-R-S. No, actually, he replied, I'm not convinced about that. I think we should continue to investigate what went on in China until we continue to find out to the best of our ability what happened. Fauci continued, quote, certainly the people who investigated it say it likely was the emergence from an animal reservoir that infected individuals, but it could have been something else, and we need to find that out. Now, head of the NIH, Anthony Fauci, is himself no more than 2 degrees removed from that research into the WIV and bat-borne coronaviruses. Skipping down in the article. In 2014, NIH approved a grant to EcoHealth Alliance designated for research into, quote, understanding the risk of bat coronavirus emergence, unquote. That's 2014. The project involved collaborating with researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology to study coronaviruses in bats and the risk of potential transfer to humans. In total, $3,378,896 in National Institutes of Health funding was directed from the government to the project. Over the course of the two grants approved by the NIH for EcoHealth Alliance, the Wuhan Institute received about $600,000 from the NIH, according to Robert Kessler, a spokesperson for EcoHealth Alliance. The point being that Anthony Fauci himself is no more than 2 degrees of separation from the research into bat-borne coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And again, once the virus's genomes are published, then they can be synthesized or weaponized at will using contemporary technology, and the extensive Pentagon USAID funding of such research into bat-borne coronaviruses in and around China, especially at the WIV and through EcoHealth Alliance, is to be taken into account. And we'll talk about the context during the latter part of this program. Now, one of the things that has been fueling discussion, the virus escaped from the lab, and that is the sickening of three staff members at the Wuhan lab in the fall of 2019. From the Wall Street Journal, May 23rd of 2021, by Michael R. Gordon and Warren P. Strobel and Drew Himshaw, H-I-N-S-H-A-W, intelligence on six staff at Wuhan lab fuels debate on COVID-19 origin. Three researchers from China's Wuhan Institute of Virology became sick enough in November of 2019 that they sought hospital care, according to a previously undisclosed U.S. intelligence report that could add weight to growing calls for a fuller probe of whether the COVID-19 virus may have escaped from the laboratory. The details of the reporting go beyond a State Department fact sheet issued during the final days of the Trump administration, which said that several researchers at the lab, a center for the study of coronaviruses and other pathogens, became sick in autumn of 2019, quote, with symptoms consistent with both COVID-19 and common seasonal illness. Now, in that context, note the following. Marion Koopmans, M-A-R-I-O-N Koopmans, a Dutch virologist on that team, told NBC News in March that some WIV staff did fall sick in the summer of 2019, but she attributed that to regular seasonal illness. Quote, there were occasional illnesses because that is normal. There was nothing that stood out, she said. Maybe one or two. It's certainly not a big, big thing. It isn't unusual for people in China to go straight to the hospital when they fall sick, either because they get better care there or lack access to a general practitioner. COVID-19 and the flu, while very different illnesses, share some of the same symptoms, such as fever, aches, and a cough. Still, it could be significant if members of the same team working with coronaviruses went to hospitals with similar symptoms shortly before the pandemic was first identified. Now, again, note that it has been known for some time that there was U.S. government funding of work on viruses at the Wuhan lab to EcoHealth Alliance. An ABC News story from May 1st of 2020 has a couple of interesting items. Trump administration pulls NIH grant for coronavirus research over ties to Wuhan lab at the heart of conspiracy theories. The cancellation of the grant after more than a decade of work in this field seems to be tied to EcoHealth Alliance's partnership with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Skipping down. EcoHealth Alliance has worked with that lab for over a decade, according to a source familiar with the grant, as has the U.S. Agency for International Development's PREDICT project, which for over 10 years has studied viruses in animals and prepared local partners around the world to detect that kind of spillover. And also, given contemporary technology, that research would produce genome publication of viruses' genomes, which would then permit the synthesis of those viruses. And in this article, there is a couple of interesting things. First of all, as far as the likelihood of a lab leak, the following should be noted. Virus samples in labs are almost never still infectious after being frozen in nitrogen during the collection process and then inactivated in the lab to preserve the genetic sequence. It's an unlikely probability because the laboratory is a controlled setting and people wear personal protective equipment. I've seen hearsay that they maybe didn't have enough or weren't skilled enough, but there are barriers, huge barriers between people and viruses in the laboratory setting, unquote, said Christine Johnson, principal investigator with USAID's PREDICT project, which will end this September 10th. This September, after 10 years and 2 6-month extensions, as USAID launches a new project that applies the data PREDICT collected. And note the following. Many of the scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology have been trained by the U.S. government's PREDICT project. One more time. Many of the scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology have been trained by the U.S. government's PREDICT project. The point being here, there are really 2 points. The possibility of a lab leak, and I don't think the virus originated naturally. I think it can be seen in the context that we're developing here. But in terms of a lab leak, this is something to factor in. The samples in labs have apparently been frozen in nitrogen, and that to produce their genetic sequence. According at least to Christine Johnson, the possibility of a lab leak is relatively low. I would note the following, however, and this should be seen in the context of covert operations. With apparently WIV personnel having been trained by USAID's PREDICT project, certainly the possibility of one or more double agents is very real. As I have indicated in the last couple of shows, I think the People's Liberation Army takeover of the WIV roughly 2 weeks after the publication of the SARS-CoV-2's genome is in the context of biological warfare. I think they realized that they were under attack and that it was kind of like the sounding of general quarters for that lab. And I think the disclosure of information is likely to be selected. There was a commenter, in one of the comments made by Parafractal, our contributing editor, who noted that simply, going in and saying to the Chinese, yeah, we want complete transparency at this lab. If the Chinese wanted to come into Fort Detrick and say, yep, we want complete transparency, they would be told to go stuff it. And that should be borne in mind. But now, the context, aside from the covert operations in Xinjiang, in Hong Kong, and elsewhere, the propaganda blitzkrieg from people like Adrian Zenz and the New Lines Institute, and the generally weaponized coverage of all things Chinese, the extensive Pentagon funding of research into bat-borne coronaviruses in and around China, especially through the WIV and through the EcoHealth Alliance funding, should be seen in the context of the following. I'm just going to start reading this article. This also is a Reuters.com article, and there's a link to their website from May 6th of 2020. It is by David Lagu, I'm not sure how his name is pronounced, capital L-A-G-U-E. The article is entitled, Special Report, U.S. Rearms to nullify China's missile supremacy. And it reads in part, and again, this is the context in which the research into bat-borne coronaviruses should be seen. This article is basically about the U.S. pulling out of the intermediate range missile treaty that it had signed with Russia so that they could develop long range, well, you know, intermediate range, but, you know, hundreds of miles, ballistic missiles with hundreds of miles of capability to use against China. As Washington and Beijing trade barbs over the coronavirus pandemic, a longer-term struggle between the two Pacific powers is at a turning point as the United States rolls out new weapons and strategy in a bid to close a wide missile gap with China. The U.S. has largely stood by in recent decades as China dramatically expanded its military firepower. Now, having shed the constraints of a Cold War-era arms control treaty, the Trump administration is planning to deploy long-range, ground-launched cruise missiles in the Asia-Pacific region. The Pentagon intends to arm its Marines with versions of the Tomahawk cruise missile now carried on U.S. warships, according to the White House budget requests for 2021 and congressional testimony in March of senior U.S. military commanders. It is also accelerating deliveries of its first new long-range anti-ship missiles in decades. In a statement to Reuters about the latest U.S. moves, Beijing urged Washington to, quote, be cautious in word and deed, unquote, to, quote, stop moving chess pieces around, unquote, the region, and to, quote, stop flexing its military muscles around China. Indeed, the funding by the Pentagon of the bat-borne viruses is to be seen in this context, basically developing weapons to kill Chinese. The U.S. moves are aimed at countering China's overwhelming advantage in land-based cruise and ballistic missiles. The Pentagon also intends to dial back China's lead in what strategists refer to as the range war, unquote. The People's Liberation Army, China's military, has built up a huge force of missiles that mostly outrange those of the U.S. and its regional allies, according to senior U.S. commanders and strategic advisors to the Pentagon, who have been warning that China holds a clear advantage in these weapons. Now, what they're talking about here are land-based guided missiles, mostly for use against ships. What is not mentioned anywhere in this article is that the U.S. has a huge advantage in intercontinental ballistic missiles, submarine-based missiles, bomber, and, you know, just not only land-based missiles, bomber-based cruise missiles, and in particular the Trident missile submarines have more ICBM firepower than probably all of the Chinese military put together. The advantage that the U.S. holds in nuclear weapons and long-range weapons is enormous. However, China does, because China was not part of the intermediate-range missile treaty, they do have a significant edge in land-based anti-ship missiles. These are, as noted in this article, essentially defensive in orientation. They permit China, along with their naval expansion, to control their own coastal waters and to keep the U.S. Navy at bay. This is not to attack the U.S., and the U.S. has a huge advantage in ICBMs, nuclear submarines, and the weapons of global annihilation. Continuing with the article, and again, I'm reading this article because it is in this context, basically war with China, building up weapons to get China, that the Pentagon funding of coronaviruses through the WIV or the Oswald Institute of Virology should be seen. Continuing with this Reuters story. And in a radical shift in tactics, the Marines will join forces with the U.S. Navy in attacking an enemy's warships. Small and mobile units of U.S. Marines armed with anti-ship missiles will become ship killers. In the conflict, these units will be dispersed at key points in the Western Pacific and along with so-called First Island Chain, commanders said. The First Island Chain is the string of islands that run from the Japanese archipelago through Taiwan, the Philippines, and on to Borneo, enclosing China's coastal seas. Top U.S. military commanders explained the new package to Congress in March in a series of budget hearings. The Commandant of the U.S. Marine Corps, General David Berger, told the Senate Armed Services Committee on March 5th that small units of Marines armed with precision missiles could assist the U.S. Navy to gain control of the seas, particularly in the Western Pacific. Quote, "The Tomahawk missile is one of the tools that is going to allow us to do that," he said. The Tomahawk, which first gained fame when launched in mass strikes during the 1991 Gulf War, has been carried on U.S. warships and used to attack land targets in recent decades. The Marines would test fire the cruise missile through 2022 with the aim of making it operational the following year, Pentagon commanders testified. And at first, a relatively small number of land-based cruise missiles will not change the balance of power, but such a shift would send a strong political signal that Washington is preparing to compete with China's massive arsenal. And again, the Chinese note that the vast majority of their short and medium-range missiles are based in China on their own territory. And they're essentially, as noted in the article, we're running out of time, it permits China, as noted here, the firepower basically permits China to control their own coastal waters and to keep the U.S. Navy at bay. Continuing. But the decision by President Donald Trump last year to exit the INF treaty has given American military planners new leeway. Almost immediately after withdrawing from the pact on August 2nd, the administration signaled it would respond to China's missile force. The next day, U.S. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper said he would like to see ground-based missiles deployed in Asia within months, but he acknowledged that it would take longer. And they're talking about also the Marines will be involved in developing a Navy strike missile as well. The new missile carries a 450-kilogram warhead and is capable of, quote, semi-autonomous targeting, unquote, giving it some ability to steer itself, according to the budget request. Details of the stealthy cruise missile's range are classified, but U.S. and other Western military officials estimate it can strike targets at distances greater than 800 kilometers. This new anti-ship missile is derived from an existing Lockheed long-range land attack weapon, the Joint Air-to-Surface Standoff missile. The Pentagon is asking for $577 million next year to order another 400 of these missiles. And I'm going to have the entire article in the written description for the program so that people can basically peruse this at their will. And again, this is the context in which the Pentagon funding of research into bat-borne coronaviruses in China and through the WIV, through EcoHealth Alliance, must be seen, which is arming themselves, a weapons development program aimed at China. And as one commentator said, "We need to be able to plug up the straits," said Holmes, a professor at the U.S. Naval War College. "We can't, in effect, ask the Chinese if they want Taiwan or the Senkaku Islands badly enough to see their economy and armed forces cut off from the Western Pacific and Indian Ocean." Again, the warmongering here is the context in which the Pentagon research into the viruses and the consequent ability, once the genomes have been published, to synthesize or weaponize those viruses must be seen. However, I can also see that we are all out of time. This concludes For the Record, program number 1187. The Wuhan Institute, or the Oswald Institute of Virology, part 6, context, part 2. This is being recorded on May 30th of the year 2021. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.